Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. Thanks for joining me. I've got a dear friend and an in-studio guest tonight, Michael Loria, who's the executive director of the Children's Museum Tucson. And I will tell you that Michael and his team have put the Children's Museum Tucson on the map under his leadership. I told him I was going to embarrass him tonight, and I don't care. It's my show, so I can. There's been a total transformation, and I know that you give a lot of credit to your team. It's a team effort, and to me, it really is all about leadership. Pace of the leader, pace of the team. There's been a transformation of the property, of the inside, of getting the successful Angel Charity Wing, which of course I have to do a shout out for them. But there's a lot of exciting information to share tonight. And I just will have one little announcement about Mrs. Green. Please don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Twitter. And remember that I am live here every Saturday at noon, right now Pacific Standard Time. That changes at Mrs. Green's World. And I interview guests from all over the country on every aspect of sustainability that you can imagine. And you can find me at MrsGreensWorld.com. So let's just go all about you, Michael, because there's so much to share. We'll never get it all in 30 minutes. Why don't we start with what's happening this Saturday, and then I'll tweet about it this week.
Well, it's such a pleasure to be here, so thank you for having me. And it is. This is going to be a great weekend coming up here at the Children's Museum Tucson in Tucson. We have our Spring Arts Block Party, and it is happening this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the grounds of the museum, indoors and outdoors, and it's completely free to the community.
People love that. If you have kids, and I use people on my team as example, like Kelly, she is constantly doing something at the Children's Museum Tucson and bringing the kids down there and getting mommy groups from school and all of that. She's got really little kids. So what is the Spring Arts Block Party?
Well, it's our way of being able to celebrate arts in our community and bring some of our fellow cultural organizations that are located predominantly in downtown Tucson to the museum's grounds to help us. So we have Ben's Bells is going to be there.
Oh my gosh, love them.
So they're fantastic, and kids can sign and commit to sign the kindness contract and paint names on a tile that will be part of a mosaic mural in downtown Tucson.
That's really awesome too. Where's the mural going to be?
It's going to be over at One South Church.
And so that's
going to be fantastic.
So many fun things happening in downtown.
Absolutely. The Tucson Arts Brigade, we're going to be making recycled jewelry with them.
Okay.
So
love
that's good.
Them too.
You love the recycle part, right?
And I love them.
And Science Downtown will be making simple science demonstrations all afternoon. Arizona Theater Company, make your own puppet.
Love them.
The Tucson Museum of Art will be create Frida Kahlo-inspired masks. And the Drawing Studio, draw with pastels and other drawing media. And then for some other entertainment, we're going to have mini train rides, balloon animals. We're going to have a couple special things, Cub Samba will be there performing.
Which I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it sounds like fun.
It's also, there's a little bit of a carnival celebration going on. So Batucache will be there as well. And then one of my favorites, the U of A Pep Band.
Oh my gosh, how fun.
In fact, we're going to have a little mini, you know, marching.
It gets everybody parade. In the mood. I mean, you have to be like dead if you don't get excited about their band. I'm serious. It gets everybody in the mood to celebrate. 10 to 2?
10 to 2.
And it's free?
It's completely free. And of course, we have the whole Children's Museum. You can come in and play on all the exhibits and explore and have a grand time.
Right. And we have to tell people, we don't have to have a moment of silence because we don't have time. But the dinosaur exhibit is gone. And it's a good thing because it was really a dinosaur.
It was a little tired.
It was very tired. And now there are going to be a lot of exciting things that are replacing it. And I think that's really, really cool.
We are so excited. And the transformation is underway. So as you know, the Children's Museum was a 2011 beneficiary from Angel Charity for Children, and we received a very large grant to enable us to create Investigation Station. and investigation.
You have to really talk about that. I love hearing the details.
So much fun. Investigation Station is a STEM-based exhibit. STEM is the acronym for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. There are eight different components in the room. It's our largest exhibit space, and it's being completely remodeled. So right now, we're knee-deep in construction. It is so exciting to walk in there and see the transformation. So it's going to be a light, bright, interactive, fun exhibit. And we have these fantastic exhibits that we've partnered with a company out of St. Petersburg, Florida, called Hands On. And I had the pleasure of just visiting them in St. Petersburg a couple of weeks ago to see the now complete exhibit, and it's going to be on its way to Tucson next week.
And this is one of the things I love about you, is that when you saw me at Crush for the Tucson Museum of Art, you're picking up your phone and showing me that's the enthusiasm that you bring to the Children's Museum Tucson. So explain some of the fun things. I know it's a radio show, but do a little bit of explaining so that people can really understand the hands-on nature and the excitement that it's going to be here in Tucson.
It's going to be fantastic. It really is going to be transformational in terms of where the Children's Museum has been in the past to where we are and where we're going. So a couple of the different exhibits. There's a light mixing table, so you can understand that how light works. And oftentimes when you see white light, you think it's white, but it's actually not. It's
right.
A blend of multiple colors.
Okay.
So you can do some refraction with it and show the different colors in the rainbow. Fantastic. We have a standing sound wave tube where you can see visually what a sound wave looks like. So you can adjust the frequency.
No way.
And I don't know how to describe it really well, but they're sort of like this clear tube. And think of these little teeny little like kernels of popcorn, kind of like the inside fill of a beanbag. And as you up the frequency on the sound wave, they dance inside this big acrylic tube. So if it's a very high frequency, they dance high and close together. If it's a low frequency, they're lower and farther apart. It's really cool.
I just had a visual for some parents pushing their kids out of the way so they can get in there first. And I'm thinking, yeah, I want to go because big kids want to go, and that's for the kid and all of us, the children and all of us.
We are never too young to learn something new. So I learned all of one of the components is called Crack the Safes, and it teaches kids of all ages the difference between a combination and a permutation.
You did tell me that, so explain it again.
So, we all talk about a combination lock, and that's actually a misnomer because a combination is, let's say it's a three combination safe. It's any, combination would be any three numbers in any random order. Well, that doesn't open a safe. It's three numbers in a specific order, which would be a permutation.
Okay, and I hope Mr. Green is listening, because when I retell the story, he'll be correcting me and he'll get it right, because I will not get that right.
And then one of the fun things that I think would be fun for kids of all ages is we have the power pump-up seats. So basically, there's a seat that is a go-kart tire sideways, and you have to pump the seat by putting your bottom on it, and the more pressure you put on the seat, the higher a ping pong ball will rise in this tube.
So do you jump on it or just...
No, you sit on it. You sit on it. And so there are two things you can do. One is you can see, and there are different colored tape as the higher the tube you go, up to about 12 feet. So you can see if you can make the ball go all the way to the top, so you got to just keep pumping repeatedly. Or you can try to get the ball to sort of stay at one level, which is much harder to do.
Okay, yes, I can see that.
It's a great visual.
It's like it is a great visual, and it's like trying to get even on a teeter tot. It's like that is not easy. It's easier to just go up and down. Oh my gosh, so how long is that going to take? And are there green aspects to what you're doing? Like, are you your paint and all that? I have to ask.
Yes, well, there are actually a lot of green aspects. So a lot of the exhibits are fabricated with, like a veneered wood, so kind of very natural looking,
except
for the graphics. The paint in the room will be the low emissions,
VOC. Volatile organic compounds. That's great. I feel like ringing the bell.
And, we are trying to do our part, if you will, to recycle. So when we are remodeling Dino Canyon, we're keeping the carpet that's already there. We're not pulling it out and replacing it. We're just adding to it.
Great.
So we're trying to be very cognizant of being very green.
And it matters, especially when you think about the health of children. I've learned so much about the VOCs in paint. So to have a children's museum and to use regular paint is kind of counterintuitive. So I'm proud of you. I know you got your green on.
We are working at it every day.
So how long is it going to take to do it? Is it going to be a couple more months
The exhibit will be open by about no more than a month from now, by the middle of May. So they're moving right along. The exhibit will be here before the end of April, and we'll be installing it, and it should be open to the public in the middle of May. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Grand opening celebration, I'm sure.
And then to coincide with it, we're doing something new this summer called Science Sundays. So we're going to take advantage of the STEM exhibit, and we're really going to promote science, technology, engineering, and mathematics all summer long. So every Sunday, starting with May 20th all the way through September 2nd, Science Sundays will be the theme. It'll only be $2 admission per person all day long. And we'll do STEM-based programming. So we'll do different activities throughout the course of the day. And not only will we do our own activities, we'll actually reach out to the community and bring other nonprofit partners in. So the Physics Factory or Bio5, Mad Science, Desert Museum. We'll focus on all different aspects of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So it'll be very collaborative, very interactive, and lots of fun, and of course, educational.
And I have to bring this up. It'll be cool. And when you're a family and you're looking for things to do in the summer, there's not a lot of excitement on the adult part for doing outside activities when it's 110 in the shade.
Yes.
So to be able to go to something affordable that's fun, exciting, and engaging the whole family, it's awesome.
It is. And you know, the best part about it is, as great as Investigation Station will be and Science Sundays, it's just a small piece of the changes that are coming just in time for summer.
It's awesome. What about, how did you pick this exhibit? Why did you come to Angel Charity for that? And I'm not trying to focus on that part, but why this exhibit? Because it did get Angel Charity members excited. And you know, we vet very rigorously.
Yes, you do. It's quite a process.
Yes, it's quite a process. I only was on the other side of the table once, and I hope I never am again.
But I'll tell you, the reason that it was important to the Children's Museum is that, of course, you know, the paramount, you know, overarching theme of what we do at the museum is it needs to be fun. It needs to be fun. It needs to be interactive. It needs to engage the whole family. But it also is important to us that it's educational and that there's an opportunity to supplement what kids are seeing in their daily classroom experiences at school. And in some cases, for some children, maybe exposure to something that they're not seeing.
Exactly.
So STEM, you know,
planting the seed for the next young new scientist. I know that happens.
Absolutely. So it was really important for us to do something that had a strong educational component, and STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics is so important right now.
I love how you have that down. I'm going to memorize it tonight.
And what's really great is that the experience is scalable. So when you come in as a 4-year-old, and you play an Investigation Station, there are going to be aspects of play in that room that are just purely fun, but the educational piece is kind of going to be above your, you know, 4-year-old's point of view. But as they become 6 or 7 or 8 or 10, there'll be new things that they can learn and experience each time they
come
in. And
you can bring your 4-year-old and your 8-year-old.
Absolutely.
Instead of trying to decide on something that's going to be age appropriate that you think the 4-year-old's going to be bored out of their mind. So they can do that. And it's safe.
Yes.
When I go in there, when I've gone in there with my grandchildren now, I'm not worried about them. It's an exploration. It's just like an indoor sea of exploration.
Well, and I think, you know, families are under a lot of stress and a lot of information overload from a variety of sources these days. So it's a great escape, you know, from maybe the day-to-day grind to be able to spend quality time with your kids, with your grandkids. It's a chance to come. And it's also, I think, for us adults, you know, it's a chance for us to feed our inner child.
It is. When we came to, I call it the candy party, and I know that's not what it is called, but when we came to your event, Evening of play. I got it close. We had so much fun doing the things. All of the big kids were there playing, and no little kids were there, which is great. So we got to really see. It's like you get in and you have so much fun doing the things. It's for our inner child, which I hope I have till the day I die. I'm Peter Pan. Okay, so
Absolutely.
That's really, really, really great. So Science Sundays, and when does that start?
May 20th, so it's not that far, just around the corner.
May 20th, and be sure to remind me to share that. I mean, I've got such a really great active Facebook following, and a lot of it is Tucson, so just remind me.
And I think one of the things that we're proud of with Science Sundays is beyond the educational aspect of the STEM programming is the accessibility, because it's really important to us at the museum. We really hold dear this concept that the opportunity for a child to come and play and grow and learn at the Children's Museum should be a right, not a privilege. But you know, we still have to sustain ourselves as an organization and earn our income.
You have to keep the doors open.
But what we've done is we've created programs like Science Sundays where we can offer reduced admission. So at $2 a person, it makes it very accessible for everyone in the community.
It's really, really, really important to me. Now, I know that one of your big supporters is TEP. They're one of my big supporters, too. I love partnering with them. So what are they doing? Isn't there a new Energizer situation going on there, too, a makeover?
Well, Tucson Electric Power deserves a huge shout out.
They
have been our staunchest supporter since the museum opened in 1986, and they have participated every year since then, both in terms of the exhibit at the museum, but they also help with funding for school tours for Title I schools.
For schools that can't afford to get a bus to come down and see the museum.
Exactly right. And so we have a gallery called Electricity that's been sponsored by TEP, and the last major update was 2005, so that's quite a while ago. So they've just energized us with some funding to be able to rehab that space. Very exciting. That's happening right now. And in fact, today they were there painting and VOC paint.
I love it. Love it. I have to give them a high five too.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a great new room. We're also taking the energy conservation to another level. We're fabricating a new sign that says Electricity, and it's being done with LED lighting. We're changing all the light bulbs, all the up in the ceiling to be LED.
Oh, awesome. So much better.
Fantastic.
The next iteration of light bulbs.
Yeah. But there's also going to be a lot of great hands-on exhibits as well. We're going to have an electric generator. We're going to have a plasma globe. Those are one of those globes when you put your hand on it, the current kind of goes to your fingers.
Right.
And a couple other surprises that'll be coming on a little later. So
I love surprises. Okay. We were at Greenfest last week, the whole Mrs. Green team, and they had their bike, their electric bike that you power electricity on their bike. You wouldn't believe people lining up to just get on a stationary bike and see what they could do with it.
Watch light bulbs go on.
If you can get engaged at that level, it's so much fun. So it'll be things like that where you can make things happen.
All hands-on.
Hands-on. It's so much more fun to do that than to look through pane glass. Okay. Now, then you also have... what's the museum's new ambulance? There's so much new ambulance in public safety.
Yeah,
What's up with that?
So we have a public safety exhibit, which right now consists of the cab of a fire truck, or a real Tucson Fire Department truck from the 70s.
Oh, my gosh. And do kids love to crawl over
absolutely.
That?
And there's a movie projected on the windshield. So if you're a child or a child at heart sitting in the cab, it looks like you're driving down the streets of Tucson. And we also have a Tucson Police Department motorcycle where the lights and siren work that you can hop on. And to complement that, we are adding a real ambulance. It's a 3/4 scale ambulance. It's going to be the front end of an ambulance, and there'll be the cube back where you can have interactive exhibits. So no blood and guts or gore.
But where is that going to be?
It's going to be right on the edge of the Electricity Gallery, right when you walk into public safety, and it's going to be fantastic.
I can't believe it. It's like it just keeps going and going and going. Okay, I want to ask you some things, like just go off a little bit, kind of like a little sidebar on public radio, like on the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
What role do you think the leader does have to play? When you got hired, did you have a vision for where you wanted to take it? And what did that look like for you?
Well, I think I had a vision of having being a parent and having experienced children's museums in other cities around the country and having experienced the Children's Museum Tucson over a period of time. I felt like, much like the board did, that there were opportunities to move the museum further along in its development path.
That's a very nice way of saying it. It really needed a facelift and makeover and getting more excited. I'm sorry, it did.
Well, and what we really approach it as, it's not about being the biggest, and it's very hard to define what the best is.
Right.
But it's really trying to capitalize on your potential. And there was a lot of untapped, unmet potential for the Children's Museum Tucson. And it's not about being better so that as an organization, we can see we're better. It's about being better for the kids in our
community. More successful with the children.
Absolutely.
And wanting kids to come there.
Absolutely.
And wanting their parents to come there.
We want to be the best institution for children and families that we can be. And we want to make our educators and our business community and our children and families that come to the museum proud of what we offer at the Children's Museum.
And one of the first things you did, I mean, I'm one of the people that's very excited about downtown. I was talking to Cade the other night from the Hub about his ice cream, of course. That was the first thing that came up.
Which is fantastic.
And how, to me, when you go down there, even the new parking garage, and you see the new TEP building, and there's Meet Me at Maynard's, and then you get to the Children's Museum block and the theater company, it's beautiful. It's like what you can see all of downtown finally becoming.
Well, we try, and we're in a beautiful historic building. We're in the old Carnegie Library. It was built in 1901, and the Children's Museum has had the pleasure of being there since 1991. But what we've tried to do is honor that. We, you know, took it upon ourselves to rehab the building a little bit, the exterior. We repainted. We put banners with smiling kids' faces out on the street. We planted flowers and shrubbery. Yeah, we made it a very welcoming and kid family-centric area.
And this is kind of annoying to me, because I believe that if you, where there's a will, there's a way. Parking. I always find parking when I go down there. Isn't it? People should not use that as an excuse to not come downtown to the Children's Museum Tucson.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there is parking there. It's predominantly street parking and meter parking, which happens to be free on the weekends. So keep that in mind.
And you can walk a little bit.
Yeah.
So there what a concept.
There are options for parking, and that absolutely should not be a reason to not come down and visit us at the Children's Museum.
I agree. And like in weekends, it's so easy. I mean, during the week, it's harder, but parents are working, so it's not going to happen. And that I love that new garage, because it's really well lighted, and you can park there and walk anywhere. What's the most thing is like 7 blocks away, so it feels like a city when you go down at night and you can walk. And are you open on downtown Saturday night? Do you guys
just our normal
hours? It's a little
hours.
Bit off the track for that.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you, Michael Loria, and if you just tuned in, where were you the last 20 minutes? I'm just kidding, but he's the executive director of the Children's Museum Tucson. I think it's always good to do another shout out about that. What do you see, and how do you value the role of social media in promoting things for your demographic, which is a huge demographic of mothers who are on Facebook, who do have mommy blogs? So what role do you see, without having Facebook fatigue, which a lot of people do, is there a role in your organization for social media?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, first of all, no matter what kind of media you're talking about, you need to be that sensitive to the fatigue, that you're not sending too many emails or letters or whatever the case may be.
Where people are just deleting.
Absolutely. So there's finding the right balance on frequency, but then also finding the right medium. So we use Twitter, we have Facebook, and those are great resources. They're not for everybody. So we have information on our website. So we have a calendar. We update news and events constantly. So you can use that as a resource that you can go to. But if you like us on Facebook, you'll get the latest updates on what's happening and what we're doing and what our events are. If there's some pertinent piece of information that we need to share, like right now we have some construction downtown. So, you know,
I went downtown today. I had to pick something up at TEP and I was like, oh my gosh, streets closed. And I was going left and right and left and right.
But it was easy. You know, I think there was less traffic today than, you know, getting around downtown than perhaps normal, because maybe people were afraid first day of Congress being closed.
I was surprised and I didn't want to be late. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't turn left on there. How long will that be going on? Do you know?
I think for a few months yet. So, you know, at least on Congress.
But
so,
it's a nice improvement.
Absolutely. So, but in terms of getting back to the social media, there is a place for the Children's Museum. You know, what we're trying to do is provide information in a variety of ways that touch a variety of different people, because we all have preferred methods of communication.
I know, and I will tell you that the only thing that I don't do all by myself is, well, I don't do anything, because I have a great team too, but I mean as far as the actual content is Twitter, because there is another language there, and since I have some young person helping me with it, I fill in and do my own form of Twitter, but things are important, like hashtagging Tucson. That's gotten us a lot more followers, because there are a lot of people watching what's going on in Tucson on Twitter.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I tweet, I'm 61, I tweet, I'm proud of it, I love it. Now, what about the, I know that you're partnering a lot with other organizations in Tucson, that's a given. Do children's museums in the country get together and share ideas and share what's worked? Because I know off air you said it is a local museum and 80% of the people are from Tucson, so it's a wonderful Mrs. Green spotlight on the Southwest topic. But in terms of ideas, do you cross-pollinate? Do you share ideas?
Absolutely. And we have an association of children's museums, and there are about 350 children's museums around the country.
You are kidding.
And we get together once a year, and it changes. It goes to a different host city every year where there's an instant children's museum. And it's a great learning opportunity for all of us. Not only do we get to go in terms of a typical conference and get that sort of
fun,
have some fun and learn some new things, we get to see other children's museums. And what's so great about this industry is that we all understand that we exist and we thrive on being there to serve children and families in our community. And it's non-competitive. So if I go to a children's museum in Kansas and I see an exhibit that I think would be great for our community, they're more than willing to share the details, how they built it, what it cost, or who their vendor was, just as I would be.
So it's really non-competitive.
It is. It's fantastic.
That's great. It's a true partnership. I love that. Yeah. But I don't know if I asked the question correctly and if it was answered. How did you get the idea for the museum that you're going to open that's funded by Angel Charity?
The exhibit?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think it was really...
Investigation Station.
Yeah. So I think it really started with first of all, what can we do that's interactive, fun, and educational?
So it wasn't from another children's museum, which made me go back to that.
Yeah. So it was this idea of creating an exhibit that was built around this concept of STEM. And then for a partner, we reached out to this organization called Hands On that is very well respected in the science and children's museum community for building durable, which is a tremendously important issue.
Oh, my gosh.
Fun, educational, yes. And durable exhibits. And
got all ages climbing all over everything.
Well, last year we had almost 130,000 visitors to the Children's Museum. And so that's a lot of little hands on those exhibits. And so it really does. Safety and durability are the two biggest issues that you must contend with, along with making it fun and interactive.
Right, right. And you just think about that as a mom or dad. You can't have things that they can hang themselves on or trip over or whatever.
Yes.
Another thing to consider. So that idea didn't come from another children's museum.
No.
So I was wondering, it's just so exciting to me.
But you are seeing more children's museums that are engaged in this concept of STEM. STEM
Which
might
we
be
need
something...
to do so much for this country.
Yeah.
To go back to getting kids to want to grow up and be a scientist.
Absolutely.
And all of those things. I mean, it's like, and engineers, it's really a great, 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 exciting opportunity.
Indeed.
So what's the best way for people that are listening to find you and to start the engagement process for the Children's Museum Tucson?
Well, I think a natural starting point is really our website, to go to childrensmuseumtucson.org.
I agree. And then it's follow me on this, follow me on that. Go ahead.
And then Facebook is another great avenue.
Okay, so my latest thing that just happened today, it just cracks me up how this world works, is, of course, someone said to us, you have to do Pinterest. And I just looked at them and I said, no, I'm not doing Pinterest. Well, then I read an article in the Wall Street Journal, like a week after that, and it said, pin it. And I'm like, the Wall Street Journal is pinning things? Went to their page, New York Times pinning things, Bloomberg pinning things. I'm like, okay. I've got to get Pinterest. So I had an interview with somebody today and she said, oh my gosh, I love your Pinterest boards. And I was like, so where's the Children's Museum? Are you going to be having Pinterest soon?
Well, we're not there yet, but that doesn't mean it won't be coming soon.
Great. Another social media thing to do.
Yeah. Well, let me add that to my to-do list.
Yeah, please, please. My mantra is get a young person or get someone that really loves spending that much time on the web. So we only have 3 minutes left. I would like you, Michael Loria, to talk about, you've made a lot of dreams come true with your team. The Children's Museum has been transformational. It continues to transform. What does your dream look like down the road? I'm sure you have some that you'd like to make come true.
Well, certainly we want to continue the path that we're on of transforming our existing space. And so we're doing that with Electricity and Investigation Station and the new ambulance that's going to be there in about a month and a half. We have a new music room that's going to be opening in 2 weeks. So I think our short-term goal through the rest of this year in 2013 is really to update and enhance all the exhibits that we have now. And then beyond that, I think we're looking to the future in terms of how can we better serve our community? How can we have more fun, more education, and touch more children's lives?
I love it. Now, I don't know the answer to this because I could walk inside that museum and tell you where things are. I really do know the inside as it was a couple, in the fall. What about, is there a place to eat? I don't want to be embarrassed asking that. Is that part of the dream where there's going to be food?
Absolutely.
Station?
It's certainly something that's missing from the experience right now is that we don't have really food service per se. We have great grounds to come and, have a picnic if you bring things.
You know some really good chefs.
And there's... and there's some great restaurants near us, but we don't have on-site food service. And that's an amenity that we know that we're lacking. That's just has to be part of our future development.
And it's expensive to put in commercial kitchens and get all of that safety standards. It's like that's a whole other ball of wax. Yeah. That's another big grant some way. But it would be a nice thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
We are, I cannot believe it, we are out of time. We have about 40 seconds left. If you want to find out about this whole interview, we'll have it up on a podcast. My in-studio guest tonight was Michael Loria, Executive Director of the Children's Museum Tucson. You get the last word. What's the website?
www.childrensmuseumtucson.org. Come out to the Spring Arts Block Party this weekend.
Okay, I'm going to say make it a great green week and get there on Saturday. Thanks for being with us, Michael, and thanks for all you do and your team does to make Tucson a happening place.